some shandy. So probably one of the most misunderstood concepts, I think, in Brahman life has been detachment. Would you agree? Many of us got it wrong, caused some pain to others, because in English, this word, nowadays actually it's changing a little bit in psychology, but in English, often this word meant not caring, being aloof, be separate from all of these things. But actually, even today, the topic was taken from today's blessing. And even today, the Hindi words that were used were niyara or pyara. Niyara is the word that gets translated as detachment. It actually means unique, to stand apart from, unique. Like a lotus, you know, the example was the lotus. And nothing of the dirt sticks to the lotus. So in that sense, you know, it doesn't, the quality of the lotus is that things don't stick to it. So maybe in a way you could call that detached. But it's a very different interpretation to what we normally think. In fact, even to a small baby, they will say, you are niyara or pyara. You are unique and lovely. You? Unique and lovely. It's so different to the way we have interpreted it. And if you look up other words that are often used for detachment, in Buddhism they talk a lot about detachment. And they use the word in Pali, which is a derivative of Sanskrit, virag. And even that word gets very misunderstood, because raga is passion. So virag is not to have passion, desire, lust. You know, it even has that meaning. But there's actually, it's not a bad word, raga. It just needs to be kept in check. You know, music, passion. It's not a bad thing, passion. But it does need to be kept in check. So this word virag, even sometimes we hear the translation as distaste. That's another very strong word, distaste. And it means not to have a taste for, but actually it means not to have a passion for, not to be desirous. So you can see how the words themselves, and if you think back to the Copper Age, beginning of Copper Age, they would have been very subtle. They wouldn't have been anything like how we're interpreting them now, because things were quite pure. You know, you have to also think, you know, how old this language is and how it's a very subtle aspect. So virag is the word that's also used sometimes as detached. But disinterest is a softer way of, you know, not having too much interest. And again, there's nothing wrong with interest. And I remember one time I was having lunch with Daddy and Didi Manmohini. And I'm not much of a foodie, you know. And I said, I'm not that interested in food. Should I be? It's a question, isn't it? Because how much should we be detached? Should we be so detached, or should we develop a little bit of, you know? So what do you think they said? Very beautiful response. Daddy said, Brahma Baba loved everything. You know, so it's not a matter of having so much detachment and disinterest that we're like a robot or something. You know, it's not like that. But Brahma Baba loved everything. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine being in a state where you love everything and yet not attached to anything. I remember one line of a song, it said, "Look with love at everything you see." It's a very beautiful state, and yet not be attached. And as I mentioned the other day, it said there's only two prime, I say the word emotions, but I'd rather use the word feelings after what we were talking the other day too, but two prime motivations, let's say, fear and love. And very often, we come at this thing, love and detachment, out of fear. We are afraid to get attached, so we keep a distance. But if that's a motivation in our behavior, it's not based in love, and it's not spiritual. But often we are kind of afraid to get close, to be attached, or to be seen as being attached. So, you know, we have to also, I think, approach this, you know, as with Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba loved everything. So to love everything and yet stay unique, separate from, which means to me not lose yourself in it. And the lotus is the best example of that because it grows in very murky, dirty water, and yet it's not touched by that. It's so beautiful. It takes its sustenance from that. It's got so many, like Baba calls family. It's got roots that you can eat, seeds, all kinds of parts of the lotus. Even you can make perfume from it. It's a very subtle smell, but there is even a fragrance in a lotus. So the lotus takes everything from that mud and yet doesn't get affected by it. So to live in this world like that. And I remember I used to keep, when I was working, I used to keep a picture of a lotus on my desk, you know, in front of my desk, because it's subtle, you know, it's not so gross as keeping Brahma Baba or even Shiv Baba. But just a lotus really tells us all that we need to remember. So it was a very good image that Baba was using today, and he was saying that it's the image for living in the family. So you can say living in the family or living in the world, so that we can, you know, just enjoy everything. But that real state of detachment is the real state of detachment. In fact, what word should we use in English? Even to use the word, it's awkward. Although, as I said, in science, in psychology now, it has changed a little bit. I remember when I was first teaching Raja Yoga, that was, you know, 36, 37 years ago, if we use this word detachment, it used to make people angry, and especially psychologists, because they used to feel it so unhealthy, dysfunctional, you know, all of those things. They often used to get not just some reaction, but angry. But now in psychology, they understand this concept of being enmeshed, you know, codependency. So they're very aware of codependency, that we are codependent on each other, and enmeshed. Enmeshed means like stuck together. We don't know where I end and where you begin, right? Most relationships are like that. We're very mixed up with the other person. And that's why in Alcoholics Anonymous, probably all the 12-step programs, they suggest to people that if they're not in a relationship, don't go into a relationship, because it's much more difficult to process yourself, because you don't know how much influence the other person's having. It's hard to see. see where you end and the other person begins, what you want and how much you're pleasing, all of those things, you know, you can see. So now in psychology, they understand these concepts of being enmeshed, in being codependent. And so detachment has got some kind of value now in psychology. They understand this word as being something positive. Because actually, if we can be detached in relationships, as somebody said, you know, attachment is controlling. And detachment is allowing. So if we're detached in a relationship, then there won't be all these problems of possessiveness and jealousy and manipulation and all of those things. Because if we're, you know, detached in relationships, then there won't be all these expectations also on the other person. So it's much healthier, they understand now in psychology, to be detached in relationships. And it helps us to deal with all those things that come in our relationships with others. But if we're able to live in this world, in this stage, then also we can really be yogis. Because our problem, you know, is being not influenced by so many things of the world, whether it's opinions of others, being impressed, being put off, you know, having distaste for other people or things. So when we're able to live in this world, in this state, and in Buddhism they talk about this a little bit more, they talk about detachment in a very broad sense, not so much just in relationships, but also in being attached to our own ideas, you know, attached to outcomes. There's, you know, different words and different kind of very clear steps of being detached, because we might be detached in relationships, but we can be very attached to our own opinions, the way we think things should be. So there's, you know, attachment comes in every minute form, probably in as many forms as body consciousness, right? Because this is what body consciousness is. It's being, it's identifying with, you know, and that's when I get my identity mixed up. You know, like if I identify with my role, then I feel if I've got a certain role, I'm important. But that's, you know, that's getting attached again to the position, to the role, to the perception, all of these things. And so, you know, we can see why detachment is so important on the spiritual path, because And especially in the process and effort to be soul conscious. Because to be soul conscious is this stage of being Niyara, being unique. You know, one time Baba said, if you were soul conscious, everything you saw would look different. Can you imagine being completely soul conscious? Have you experienced it? Some people might have. Completely. I know somebody who was in our evening class in Cambodia, and he had dengue fever. And in that dengue fever, it's a very, like you get malaria from mosquitoes, you can also get dengue. So he thought he was going to die. In that, all of your bones feel like they're broken. You don't just have nausea and all that, but all your bones feel like they're broken. So just to lay still is painful, to move is painful. It's a really pretty intense thing to go through. And he thought he was going to die. And in that process of thinking he's going to die and getting well, something happened mentally to him, and he described it, because he just did the course when I met him, he described it as being completely in the present. So he had 2 weeks' experience of being completely in the present, as he described it. I would describe it as soul consciousness. Others would describe it as unconditional love. There's not really a difference in this. And what he was experiencing that was so much energy. He said he hardly slept. 2-3 hours a day he would sleep. He had so much creative energy and he was doing so many things. But what was interesting for us, because he was in our class for 1 or 2 years, he became a reference point. We'd have a talk on like unconditional love, whether it's possible, whether you can love everyone equally, whether you can have unconditional love. Do you think it's possible? Yes? What do you think? What we decided is that it's a matter of being love and not loving. Because if you are being love, you can be in an unconditional, you know, state, which is really, again, detached, unique, not getting involved. It's standing apart. You know, it's a very present, full, complete, not enmeshed, all of these things. If you think about that stage of real love, it is detached. Is it not? So what we were talking when we, you know, in that discussion on unconditional love, one of the ladies said, because it was Cambodia, a lot of corruption, she said, when people are trying to get a bribe from me, I don't think I can love them at that time. I can't feel that unconditional love. I feel a reaction. I feel, you know, all these things come up. And so we asked him, so do you think you can have love for someone who's trying to get a bribe from you? He said it happened to me, because this happened to him in Cambodia. Somebody asked him at that time, in those 2 weeks, someone tried to get a bribe from him. And he said, I just said very clearly, I don't pay bribes. But you could feel when he said it, the state of mind that he was in. He just said, I don't pay bribes. And you can see the state of truth in that also. You know, like it's just clean, clear, truth, power, love. It was just, and he said he didn't pursue it, you know, like in that stage, there's no negotiation. It's just like, can you see that? So you can see how that state of detachment is, within it there is love, within it there is power, because we always hear, and I think we all believe, probably, that the greatest power is love. But when you're just in that soul consciousness, presence, you can call it many words, but they all kind of become one. And so to understand detachment in this sense of being unique, as it being not different from love, that kind of understanding of detachment is what, you know, we saw, well, we didn't see, but we hear about from Brahma Baba, and we see it to some extent. Dadi Gulzar, I think, is a very good example of all of these things. Whatever stage she's in, I think she lives in the state I'm just describing. I don't know whether you see that, but I just feel that she's detached, she's love, she's power, the power of love. You know, it's such a gentle love. And, you know, Daddy Gulzar loves shopping. Do you know that? Do you know that? She loves shopping. I know, because I was in Hong Kong. But so unique, so interesting. Because she loves shopping, the Indian sisters take her shopping. And we were getting late for a program with the Brahmins, and I was a little bit like, you know, I don't think it's fair. The Brahmins have, you know, had to leave work early and rush to get to the center. We should be there, you know, this kind of thing. And but because, you know, people love Daddy, they want Daddy to be happy. They think, no, let her just stay here. But then finally I got my way and I said, no, we really have to go. So when Daddy wasn't even worried what we're saying, should we go, should we not go, she's so detached that when it was decided we should go, you know, she wasn't involved in this. We were like, no, you know, what goes on. And as soon as we said to Daddy, we should go now, she was looking at something. She just, like this. Like it was just like this. It was a very nice thing to watch, how she was just instantly detached. So I asked Daddy later, I said to Daddy, why do you like shopping and seeing things? Because you see so much in trance, they must be nothing compared to what you see. Because even we took her in Hong Kong to one of these theme parks, you know, with the dolphins and whales and all of that. Sea World kind of thing, yeah, Ocean Park. So we took her to Ocean Park, and afterwards I said to her, so how did you enjoy it? She said, yeah, it was nice. But in the Golden Age, those fish, the dolphins, she said, those fish are of different colors. They're all different colors. Can you imagine how beautiful? And animals have a timetable. Animals have a timetable. Actually, even now, if you have time to observe nature, which we don't get so much time now, but I remember I was here in the rainy season and staying in Pandavavan for a few weeks. Every day, the same bird used to come to the same place while I was having tea. Same bird, same place. And if you watch, normally, if you have that opportunity, you'll see that a lot of the animals, even my mum's dog, has a timetable. There's a time to go for a walk, and he won't leave you till you do that. Then there's a time he plays with his toys, and it's always the same amount of time. You know, when he plays with the toys, he wants you to play with him, with the toys. It's like 10 minutes, then finished. You know? So I've seen they do have a timetable, but, you know, the interesting thing is how Daddy Gulzar enjoys shopping when she sees so many beautiful things that we couldn't even imagine. I mean, imagine the fabric of the Golden Age. Can you imagine? Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. So beautiful. So what does she see? And she replied, she said, I'm always looking for things of the Golden Age. Yeah, interesting. So like a child, you know, she sees all these things, so she's kind of looking for them. Very interesting. But what was really an experience for me is how detached she was, how she just turned away. You know, and she doesn't really go to buy or, you know, she's very detached when you shop with her. But she loves it. See? So that's the unique way to live in this world. And as it sometimes says in the Moolies, which we were just talking about, relationships, that we can, the more detached, the more people will love you. Is it your experience? Yeah, because when we're detached, we don't want anything. We don't need anything. We're not trying to get anything from the other person. So the more detached we are, the more people will love us. But that's the real kind of detachment, which, as we were saying, is hardly different to love. And I experienced this stage, I think, a taste of it once when Daddy Prakashmani was very, very sick. And they were taking her from Pandav Bhavan to Ahmedabad to the hospital. And the feeling I had, I thought, this must be that pure love, loving and detached. Because the feeling I had, I would give my body if I could save her body. Like, I really had that feeling that, you know, you can take me, she's so valuable and beautiful and, you know, like really with a feeling of just, you know, that was the thought that came to my mind. But on the other hand, I didn't need to go near her. You know, everyone was wanting to go near her and see her, and I didn't feel that. I felt, you know, when it's so complete, there's no feeling of taking something. So that's what I was observing, that the stage was of so much love that I could give my body, you know, I could die for her, and yet not needing to take anything. So I just reflected, yeah, this is that stage, I think, of being loving and detached, and a pure love that wants nothing. It just loves. And so, you know, in our spiritual journey, we all have different relationships with children, with husbands, with parents. And I think, you know, to really practice Rajyoga is to, you know, really use these things in a practical way and see how it translates into our relationships. In the Gita, it says, higher than bhakti is gyan. Higher than gyan is meditation. Higher than meditation is karma yoga. And to me, I really like that, because you can sit and meditate and experience wonderful things and love and all of that, but really putting it into action, living it in the world, is so much more of a reality test. And in the Gita it says that as a karma yogi, you never incur sin. So what it's talking about is real karma yoga, not just doing action. And it gave me a heightened sense of respect for karma yoga. Because sometimes in our centers, we use the word karma yoga for cleaning the floor and doing all these things, like in a very ordinary way, like karma yoga roster. You know? It's used in such an ordinary way. But how much is it really karma yoga? How much am I completely connected while I'm doing that action? So that's karma yoga, not just doing action. I mean, in its real sense, karma yoga is the highest. And again, that takes a lot of detachment to be doing action and stay connected. Because we get so caught up, role conscious and action conscious and all of these things. You want to ask something, Miriam? Oh, that's a very interesting... They didn't have it in that translation, but I was mentioning the other day that, you know, I often ask in India, what is the translation for the word meditation in Hindi? Usually nobody knows. That's the interesting thing. If you ask, you try asking anyone, they say, yoga. And I say, no, yoga's connection. What about meditation? But dhyan is a good one. But they often don't know what is meditation in the sense of not yoga, connecting with Baba, but reflecting, going inside. Actually, the Sanskrit word again, I found the root of it, but it didn't have the Sanskrit word. It said the word is to cultivate the self. That's meditation, which is very nice, to cultivate the self. What's that? That's remembrance. Yeah, that's remembrance. Yeah, they have this word nishta. Nishta. Yeah, there's a few words, but it's interesting that in the West we call this meditation, meditation, meditation. And then you come to India and you ask any Indian BK, what's the word for meditation? They say, I don't know. As if we're two different organizations, because they're so focused on yoga, whereas we can't speak so openly about God, yoga, connection, right? But they are so much into that side, and we are so much often into the other side. But also going back to the Gita, maybe, just to explore this a little. You know, I was mentioning the other day also about one of the inspirations I got from the Gita was that it says, and again, this is to do with detachment, that the biggest illusion of human beings is that they think they are doing something when actually it's the three gunas that are doing everything. Satogun, Rajogun, Tamogun. And Satogun, to do action in Sato, means not to look for the outcome. See, so that's so detached. To do something just because it's truth, it's right. You know, and that's also interesting. Sat is the prefix for truth, but also purity, like Sato Pradhan, Sat Yug, Sat Vik. Same prefix, right? Truth and purity. Is there a difference? Hardly. Unmixed. But to do anything just because it's the right thing. So not to calculate, not to look for any return, any expectation. And that's the stage of Raja, Rajogun. And Raga and Raja seem to be similar because Raja, you know, this Rajogun is to do with passion and, the senses. You know, I mean, even a king, kingdom. It's very interesting to think how these words get connected. But to do anything looking for an outcome is that second stage. And if you think about it, most of the training in the world is all about result orientation, no? So we're not trained at all, I think, in the world to do without expectation. It's hardly an awareness anyone would have. But Sato is to do without any expectation, without any desire for any reward. That's very detached. And pure. You know, so what I'm trying to bring in is the very pure element of detachment. Just to do it because it seems the right thing to do according to this moment. But interestingly, the return of this satogun is like well-being, bliss, and, you know, all good things, as you can imagine. The return of rajogun, of this passion, is pain, suffering, because any time you're looking for a return, there will be some disappointment, frustration, suffering, pain, right? We all experience it when we have expectation. There's some pain. But lower than that, now what's lower than pain? So tamogun means, this was really interesting. I mean, I enjoyed this translation because I found it so interesting. It said the return of tamo, no, the motivation of tamo, actually there's no motivation. It's just uncaring. Uncaring. And to me I thought, that doesn't sound so bad, uncaring. You know, it's a pretty common word, it's a pretty normal, people do a lot of things uncaring. But if you look at the world today, it's so uncaring that it's pathetic. You know, you try to, if you're a manager, anyone here is a manager in a company, they can really relate to this because most staff don't care. You know, even you have a helper at home, don't care. You know, if you think, it sounds so harmless, but it's so impure in regard to action. Don't care. And I always say in India, what I love most about India is bhavana. You know, loving feelings, this caring. Daddy Janki once gave a very simple description of bhavana. Very simple, you can understand easily. She said, somebody comes to your home and you offer them a glass of water. You give them a glass of water, right? This is like normal. And it's kind of like duty, it's custom, it's expected, whatever you want to say. But bhavana is to think, which glass will I use? Which temperature of water? To check it's clean, to put it maybe on a tray with a little napkin. You know, same action, but bhavana is to feel feelings in it. You know? Otherwise you gave a glass of water, no harm, no? And this is what I found so interesting, uncaring. And again, if you think back, the Gita was, you know, written in the beginning of Copper Age. Uncaring was probably pretty bad back then. You know? You couldn't even imagine in those days, probably, when uncaring first started to creep in. But nowadays, uncaring goes to the extent where you can impose extreme suffering on someone and not care, like torture, rape and all these things that we're seeing happening in the world. What is that? That's really dead, no? That's when the soul is so dead. So uncaring has quite a wide range in it, but it's very serious. And what do you think the return of this tamo, uncaring, what do you think the return of that is? What is lower than pain and suffering? Very interesting. What's lower than pain? It said the return of tamo is ignorance. I never thought of that, that ignorance is lower than pain. But in a way, it is. At least if there's pain, you feel something. Ignorance is completely dead. Like nothing's working. Your heart's not working, your head's not working, your soul's not working. You're dead. Ignorance. And if you see what's the state of the world now, the problem I mean, a lot of people are not bad. You know, they're not bad. Some people are bad. 5% maybe are bad. 95% uncaring, ignorant. But it's a big problem, huge problem, when people are ignorant. Because when you think in terms of the soul, there's nothing there. Isn't it interesting, though, that ignorance would be lower than pain, and uncaring could be so extreme? So when we're talking about detachment, it's that stage of doing things in sato, just doing it because it's the right thing to do, not looking for the result. So you can think how that translates in your world. Does it translate maybe to surrender? Because in surrender, you know, it's giving everything for Baba. One time, Didi Nirmala, she was walking past and we're having a little teacher's chit-chat thing, and we're talking about why so many Brahmins, even though we have everything, you know, we've got all the tools, we've got Baba, we've got so many things, we're talking about why so many Brahmins are not happy. You know, why are Brahmins not happy when they have everything? And she said, very few Brahmins do Baba's service. And if you think about it, we can busy ourselves in our Brahmin life in all kinds of things that we call service, but think about it. Do you get it? Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, afterwards when she said that, yeah, like Didi, now she's got quite a nice, comfortable position. She used to look after, well, she still does look after 40 countries, but she used to travel continuously, and, you know, now she's got a Brahmani and a driver, and she's quite comfortable here in comparison. But I thought if she was asked to go to, I don't know, Timbuktu, where there's a place apparently in Africa, Timbuktu, if she was asked to go to Timbuktu tomorrow, I know she would. If that's what Baba asked her to do, she would. You know, she's such a detached soul in that sense. She just does what is right, what is needed, what Baba wants. You know? So, it's not a small thing, because many wouldn't, I don't think, but she would. So it has a lot of weight. It had a lot of weight for me when she said it. Because, you know, you'd walk into Indraprastha, which was the main center, it still is the main center in Australia. She'd be folding the towels, sitting on reception. You know, my parents, she and Charlie invited my parents for lunch, and they cooked. That wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, because there was nobody else. Everybody was at work, you know. But this kind of just do what's needed. Not thinking this is too low or this is too high. How many of us really do Baba's service? And it's not easy in that sense of positioning yourself, because this is a world, and if you have a position, it's more comfortable. If you have no position, you've always kind of got to fit in. You know, so once you're fit, you get into a role, that's why people get attached to those roles, because it's security, you know? I can see it. It's not so impure, you know? It's not because they want to be seen as important, but it's the security. Because it's not easy when you're floating. I know, because I was in Hong Kong for 21 years and then I left. And it's like, you know, it's not an easy place to be. And even now people said to me then I went to Cambodia from Hong Kong, and people laughed at me because it's considered like much lower in a importance, you know. They said, why are you going to Cambodia, you know? But that's that kind of thinking. You know, we have to really be quite courageous, I think, to just do what we feel is wanted by Baba, and not what would position me well, what would give me security, what would, you know, and that's a normal way to think. It's not a bad way. You know, some people think it's very political. But actually it's a normal kind of, people look for security. It's one of the biggest things that people want in life. But it's such a trap, isn't it? So we can just think of all the kinds of things that motivate us, all those levels of rajo that come in to take us away from sato. So, I think it's still 10 minutes. So I always like, as you've probably noticed, to stop and give you a chance to talk amongst yourselves some of these ideas and come back and share something after traffic control. Just share or ask questions. So, talk amongst yourselves. Find someone who speaks your language. Which language are you translating? Ah, okay. So you can find them, talk to them. Because we're such a small group, it's quite a nice chance to get to know each other. So when you give a comment, can you just say your name and your country? So any comments, questions, reflections? Yes, sister. No, only in the experiences of meditation. Not in the physical, no. How can we be loving and detached? Okay. So, you know, what I was focusing on is understanding what is detachment. Because true detachment is loving. It's not controlling, it's not possessive, it's allowing, it's not wanting anything from anyone. It's not doing anything for any expectation. expectation, just doing it because it's the right thing. So, as Brother Jagdish said in one of his classes, he said it's not a matter of being loving or detached. He said we must always love according to the law. Actually, if you love according to the law, you are loving and detached. Think about it. That's a beautiful way to put it. Always love according to the law. The laws of love. The true laws. Love truly, and you will be detached. Always love according to the law. That's the big question. That's the big question. So that's why karma yoga is so important, because just to do action is not karma yoga. But if you were staying in connection while you were doing action, then it would be karma yoga and it would give a lot of fulfillment. But why can't we remember Baba when we're doing action? Because there's so many types of body consciousness and attachments that come in. So many. Like I don't know if I shared with you, but we were with Daddy Janky. She was in Hong Kong, and she overheard myself and another sister mention that there wasn't enough toli left for the next day. So she said, she overheard us, right? And then she asked us, do you have any cashews?
Cashew
nuts, yeah. And it was so myself and the other sister, we started to go in this, oh, we don't have any cashews, maybe the shop will be open, maybe we can borrow some, this person might have some, blah, blah, blah. And Daddy was just watching. And she said, I just asked if you had any cashews. So you see what's filled in everything. It's so much stuff. You know, like that was like fear of failure. Daddy wants cashews. We don't have cashews, you know. But what's in that? Why did we go into such a spin? So, you know, most of the time, we're very complicated and we've got so much going on that our actions not karma yoga. Our actions are full of stuff. It was so funny. I just asked if you had any cashews. So very few of us do pure action. We do it to please, we do it to look good, we do it to look like we're hardworking because we're afraid that if you're not doing anything you'll be called lazy or whatever. Looking good syndrome, yeah. That's a big one. Very little pure action. Because of body consciousness, but you can make that on almost synonymous with some kind of attachment. Any other comments, questions? So your name? Your name? Your Ludmila from Russia? Yeah. The law of love. Yeah, it's all of those things. It's not controlling, not being possessive, not being attached. You know, it's so many things. There's so many laws. But these are pure laws. These are not laws of the world. Yeah, not laws of the world. I think it means pure love. pure love. And just to touch on that, because that's another very big subject, but one of my favorite subjects is this whole thing that the shortcut to all efforts is to realize that I don't need love. That I am love. And you don't need love, you are love. Anyway, that's a big topic, but that's a shortcut, I feel, to all efforts. And most of our stuff is around this, wanting love. Most of it. In some way, you know? So we cheapen ourselves, we compromise ourselves, we go outside ourselves all the time. You know, instead of being what they call self-referred, instead of just knowing where I'm coming from, where other-referred, what do others think of me? What do they think I should be doing? You know, other-referred, they call it. So when a baby is born, we shouldn't tell the baby, I love you. It's very bad. Because when we say, I love you, we are making them dependent on us. We're making them vulnerable. And we get attached. Instead, we should say, you are love. I am love. And you are love. Then we empower that baby from the beginning. All this I love you, it's a big problem. Big problem. Do we need Baba's love? Think about it. Huh? I am love. I need to be love and connect. That's yoga. If I need Baba's love, it's bhakti. It's bhakti. Yoga is I am love. You are love. More than that, realizing yourself. Yeah, but realizing yourself. Yeah. So love is such a big mess in today's world. Big mess. Even in Brahmin world. We want daddy's love. We want senior's love. Is it good? Is it good? It's not. That's why our actions get all messed up. Because our motivation is messed up. That's why detachment is so powerful and empowering and pure. Very pure. Detachment's very pure, like the lotus. It's a good symbol for detachment. Pure and beautiful and loving and lovely. Okay, anything else? Otherwise we'll finish with a minute of silence.
Above, teach us how to live. melancholy color. Wish a witch upon a star, better wishes travel far. Sermon thoughts will see you to holy color, my love. Now I know you got this key, she's alive and set it free. So this chance and honestly, holy and colored, my love. Holy in the Father's name, like a moth walking the flame. Some will say it's all right, being a holy day and night. Colored by the one we love, holy come down from above. Teach us how to live in love and holy and colored.